Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Where am I?
You are woken up down here.
Whoa.
That's what it's like when you wake up down here.
Whoa, is this what I've been doing to you for 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, just with less ether.
Oh, I thought the ether would... It's called time travel, really.
It's kind of... I mean, when you sleep for that many hours, you're traveling through time, certainly.
I hope you flail about, because you don't want sores.
No, yeah, no. I'm good.
Okay.
The knife puppy comes and pokes me after a little bit.
Oh, it just lances you. I know you had that rash.
Yeah, the rash is gone. The knife puppy just sliced that right off. Ooh. Now there's a scar.
A chunk is gone. That's not a scar. There's a chunk missing.
Is that what that... Okay. Well, yeah, then all right.
I mean, I found it so easily by the blood stain on your shirt.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I've been wearing the same shirt for a while.
That's true. I should probably get you another shirt.
Another shirt would be kind of you.
I mean, this one just says, I'm with stupid.
It does.
And the arrow's all faded, so who knows?
You don't.
You don't know who's stupid.
No.
Really a waste.
Pretty much everybody's listening to this right now. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
You're not stupid.
You're don't not be stupid. Ridiculous. Hi, Rich. You're not stupid. Rich, our super fan, did our Rich episode recently.
Oh, my goodness. Was that a good time?
It was a good time.
He gave you all the good movies.
He did.
He gave you the best movies. We all got good movies. You got the best movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think you did.
I think I did, too.
I got more movies, though.
More? Wait, more. They made more? I thought we hit them all.
Well, no. Rich didn't pick these. I picked these.
Oh. Oh, will that be better? It can't be, right?
These are pretty good. I didn't know that before I watched them, but they ended up being all right. Good ones, yeah.
Yeah, it is a mystery when we watch these things.
Yeah, that's right. These aren't rewatches for me, so these are all new.
All right, you want to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
I went first last time, so you can go first.
All right, then here we go, people. Spider-Man. No Way Home.
No way.
No Way Home.
Whoa.
Whoa.
This is a newer one.
It is. So spoiler warning, we'll go in the front. I'm going to do my best not to spoil too hard, but there's kind of plot points by this point. If you don't know, I'm kind of going to spoil them for you a little bit. So 2021, I watched this in the theater. It took a lot to get me to go to the theater as well.
Was this the first theatrical viewing you've had since the pandemic, the official pandemic?
Yes.
I know that was the way for a lot of people.
Yeah, this was I don't know. But they kind of scattered the seating. I wore a mask the whole time. It was not fun, but I did it.
I did the same thing when I went. I was really alarmed at the amount of people that did not. When I went and saw the movie, I broke my streak for, it was in November. So it was right before the big Omicron breakout.
Right.
Unicron, whatever his name is. That Transformer.
Unicron, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Orson Welles one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feel bad.
But yeah, that's and it was just like nobody. I was the only one. Sam and I went and saw the movie, and we were the only ones in the theater with a mask.
I like
on.
That you won't say the movie title when we all know what movie it is. If we remotely know you,
if you've listened to the podcast, you know what movie came out in November, and I went and saw it on opening night.
But yes, I saw this in the theater right before Christmas on the 23rd.
Oh, wow.
2 hours, 28 minutes.
It's so a lengthy one.
It's a lengthy Marvel. Action, adventure, fantasy, comics.
Comics.
Why don't they just put comic at this point? I don't get it. Directed by John Watts.
He's been doing a hell of a job with these.
Yeah.
He's come quite a way since was it Cop Car? The other one of his, early one of his that you reviewed.
Man, remember Cop Car?
Cop Car.
Where Kevin Bacon, kind of a piece of shit.
Yep.
I like a good piece of shit, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yes.
Not to get sidetracked, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a weird mustache.
Also great.
Win-win.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Tom Holland,
Zendaya,
and Benedict Cumberbatch. Your IMDb movie summary. With Spider-Man's identity now revealed, Peter asks Doctor Strange for help. When a spell... I feel like just stopping there. It's pretty great.
That's it, yeah.
When a spell goes wrong, dangerous foes from other worlds start to appear, forcing Peter to discover what it truly means.
When worlds collide?
Yes, and then Power Man 5000 came out.
That's what I was hoping for.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The greatest spoiler of them all.
That's
Power Man 5000.
They were there. They started playing When Worlds Collide. The Dudleys were there. They did the 3D death drop. It was all perfect, really.
Oh, man.
And then they were like, wait, what were we doing? And then... And then I woke up in the parking lot. And I had my pants on. I was like, never again am I going to the movie theater when a movie's this new. It just never turns out good.
Never again am I soaking my face mask in ether.
This movie's a lot of fun. Spoilers incoming, but I'm going to do my best to not make it so bad. So the big thing that if you don't know by now is multiple Spider-Men. I know.
I think we basically knew once Into the Spider-Verse became super duper popular that they were going to do this.
Right.
Especially because Sony and Marvel had that weird ownership thing with Spider-Man. So you knew it was coming.
This movie, and it's funny, like the other Spider-Man don't show up for like the first half.
Wow.
And then they cram them for the rest of the movie.
Okay.
So you get Toby and you get Andrew. Nice. And I will say, Andrew Garfield, way more likable after this movie.
I think he did a good turn.
Yes.
I think he was likable in those movies.
I would say this movie makes me want more of him.
That's cool.
And the way this whole weird multiversal kind of thing that they've been doing, maybe we'll get it.
I think that's the plan, Sony's right? just like, you know, I mean, heard that cash register noise, you know,
right.
when they were just like,
And I want it. I don't give a shit. Give me a bazillion
that's
universes.
That's the beauty of comics,
with a bazillion,
right?
Yeah.
That, like, we can, what's this one-off little story that's four issues that some, like, writer you really like came on and did just that doesn't tie together to the main story at all? It's like, who gives a shit? It's awesome.
Right.
That's all I care about.
This movie's really solid. A lot of people really liked it. It is a lot of people's favorite Spider-Man movie. I don't know if it's mine. I have to rewatch Spider-Man 2 because that was always my favorite. So I got to go back. But Rich, you're in the background. What do you think?
Best one.
Wow.
All right.
Shouted from a distance. Best one.
I couldn't argue with that.
You could just throw people off by going, my favorite Spider-Man is the one with Alfred Molina in it. And then you just don't have to commit.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love Alfred Molina. When he shows up, it's the greatest thing.
That's how I feel in Boogie Nights, too.
They show you in the trailer. Yeah. He shows up. Right before he shows up, there's this great little Easter egg, the car, because they show you in the trailer that he starts wrecking cars on a bridge.
Yep.
The car that he starts wrecking with, that Spider-Man's interacting with somebody on the bridge, says ASM3 as part of the tag, which is his first appearance, and then you see the car start flipping.
That's
fine. Before you even see the tentacle come up. I was like, oh, that's
a deep cut.
I like little clever. I don't even know how I noticed it because I was
right.
But I love things like that. I was like, this is so much fun.
Yep.
All the villains. I won't even tell you the villains per se. I won't spoil all of it. You could still have a little, like, if you somehow managed to this point, good on you.
Yeah.
And especially by the time this actually goes up. But there is one villain I will say, and that is Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Willem Dafoe deserves Best Supporting Actor nod for his role in this movie.
He's something of an actor himself.
I thought Willem Dafoe was fantastic, and I was just in ready.
That's all I've heard.
I was ready to jerk off to Alfred Molina, but no, Willem Dafoe came in and was like, hey, you remember me? Yeah. And I was like, oh, I do.
as a matter of fact, I do.
And one thing they did that I super loved is for Toby's character, everything comic-related kind of got latched onto him.
Okay.
So if they reference something, like they talk about potentially Ned Leeds being the Hobgoblin in another universe,
okay,
is kind of a joke they keep bringing up. And everything that's remotely a comic reference, Toby's like, oh, yeah, that happened to me. This happened. And it's
that's fun.
They put it on him because he's the older one. So he has the bigger legacy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Really good.
This movie
is just so much fun. It is a lot. It's eye porn, really, once it gets going.
Sure.
So if you haven't seen it, please do. You will enjoy it. It is most people's favorite Spider-Man movie. It might be mine after I rewatch Spider-Man 2, which we'll get on here, so I guess I'll let you know.
It's fair.
But yeah, I loved Spider-Man 2 so much. I'm like, I don't know. I got to rewatch it.
What really interested me about this one is I felt like the Tom Holland Spider-Man's, in particular Far From Home, didn't really have any like stakes in them.
Yeah.
This, when the trailer came out for this one, I just watched the first trailer, so I was like, I know I'm going to see it eventually. I'm not going to just pollute my mind with a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And I was like, wow, like the level of stakes and like Spider-Man, the comics are so predicated on him having this deep level of personal accountability for everything. And every little decision he makes fucks everything up so spectacularly. And he has to kind of just live with that. And we haven't really gotten a whole lot of that in these Spider-Man movies. And when I saw this trailer, I was like, oh my God, the stakes they're bringing are so absolutely heavy. Like, cause I didn't love with how they handled Death of Gwen Stacy in the Garfield one. And I was like, that's like one of the most gut-wrenching comic arcs in comics. It's just horrendous. And the fact that this feels like there's such weight and stakes, and like Doctor Strange is in it and he's trying to, like, he's like, you don't understand how much you're going to fuck if you try to fuck this.
Right.
And he's just like, I don't care. It's not, and like, it seemed like I was just like, wow, this is awesome. Like, such deep characters, such great stakes.
I am super, super excited for everything going forward, especially since the next thing's going to be Moon Knight.
Well,
yeah. Moon Knight next.
Moon Knight.
This should go up before then. Moon Knight next.
Moon Knight now.
And if you haven't watched Hawkeye, please watch Hawkeye as well.
So,
Hawkeye, very good.
Nice. So, like that. How about some scores?
Would you like a score since I've rambled on way longer than we normally do?
No, that's okay. I like it.
All right. Well, I got scores.
Please.
IMDb, 8.8.
Holy crap, right?
Yeah. That's high.
That's got to be in their top 100, probably.
I'd say.
Rotten Tomato critics, 374 of them.
That's a lot.
93%.
Damn.
The audience, 25,000 plus. You want to guess the audience?
98%.
Correct. 98%.
Yep.
And me... What feels like a high score to me? An 8.0 for me.
That is high.
Yeah, that's like a 9 for everybody else.
Knocking on Manborg's. Manborg can hear that knocking on his boot. Like, whoa, what's down there? Spider-Man.
You know what? Even you saying that, I got to tell you, I just love Manborg so much. Yeah. And it brings so much glee to my heart, my cold, dead heart, that Manborg still wins.
I mean, like, we just really need to, we need to actually get in touch with Steven Katansky so we can be like, we just need Manborg to become the Tapes and Scowls official mascot.
Yeah, he won't be. I don't think so.
I don't think so, but yeah. I mean, he might consider it for a minute. I mean, here's what we do.
Here's the negotiation.
Minute.
Yeah, please.
We go in, we ask for Biocop. Sure. When he says no, we take Manborg. We're like, all right, well, how about Manborg? And he's like, all right, but not Biocop. Because, of course, he's not going to give a Biocop.
No, Biocop's so good.
Oh,
what are we getting that? Come on, people.
Yeah. Like,
tease us with that shit. Absolutely. Like a war, man.
Oh, my goodness. Fuckers.
What you got, fool?
I got 2020 still.
Okay.
The trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh.
Yes.
I heard of this. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they're going to be good.
I watched this July 4th. Very fitting.
Yeah.
2021. 2 hours and 9 minutes. It is a drama written, directed by the just like not comparable to most humans, Aaron Sorkin.
I love Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
After Sports Night.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Nothing beats Sports Night in my ass.
Starring Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sure.
Eddie Redmayne and Jeremy Strong. So the IMDb movie summary is a little long, but stick with me here. This film is based on the infamous 1969 trial of 7 defendants charged with conspiracy and more by the federal government, arising from the countercultural protests in Chicago at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. The trial transfixed the nation and sparked a conversation about mayhem intended to undermine the U.S. government.
I mean, it's a good long description.
Yeah.
They didn't mention a USB drive because it didn't exist yet.
Nope.
So that's good.
Almost unfortunate. I needed to fit that in somewhere. I fucked up.
It's okay.
All right, my thoughts on this movie. I think that Sorkin does a really good job to kind of force you to grapple with what exactly these people were trying to do. He doesn't tell you how to think about it. He does present a different side of it. So he spends the whole time kind of, you're following the defense, obviously, but you're also seeing a lot of the prosecution side of things. And then you kind of start to see the defense kind of unravel until the very end. And then you're like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. And it's just like, that's interesting. So he manages to build up your way of thinking to be like, oh, okay, well, I can't really see how this is going to go any other way. Like, it doesn't make sense. And he's like, but this. And you're like, oh, wow. Like, I would have never thought about this way. And there's this whole little thing that cruxes and changes everything and how you kind of view the whole thing.
Sorkin's so good at stuff like that.
It's really a masterclass in writing a courtroom drama. And I mean, like, courtroom drama we've seen a million times. Right? You can turn on any channel on basic television and you'll get some kind of courtroom drama, right?
Including Gary Busey.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Gary Busey. The story obviously is insanely tight. The characters, I mean, this is a good way to tackle a lot of characters. Obviously, there's a bunch of them, some of them underwritten, but intentionally so, because they weren't so much the focus of the trial as others. I gotta tell you, the standout performance in this movie,
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Unbelievable.
I wonder what made them cast him, because clearly, if there's a polarizing person to put in a movie like this.
Yeah, he does an unbelievably good job.
Good.
Like,
that's what I like.
Man, it is an awesome character. He's kind of like leader of like essentially like a hippie group, and it's him and another guy who run the whole thing, and kind of it's this like outside the box way of thinking about just government in general.
Right.
And you think he's kind of like just a like complete like drugged out of his mind, can't really get his shit together kind of dude who just wants an excuse to just lie around, do dope and have sex. And then you realize he's like insanely brilliant, really cool, and like has actual thoughts and reasoning and rationale. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably smart. And Baron Cohen blew me away.
good.
Like that. Coming out of nowhere, Bo Ratch just like, I'm actually a really good actor.
I think he does that occasionally. He just does a really good job on a serious role just to mess with people.
Oh, like, my goodness.
By the way, I can do this.
It's really, everybody brings. I mean, but, you know, again, Aaron Sorkin at the helm of this whole project. Man, it's
what can't that guy, anything political, that guy just owns it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. But, yeah, if you want to watch something that's like, man, I'm in the mood for something that has a realistic bent to it. And, you know what I mean? Obviously, this is pretty heavily based on.
Right.
And I'm not an expert about the subject matter by any stretch, so I don't know how much was dramatized for the film, but it all reads pretty authentic, and there's like a lot of like little cut-ins and snippets of actual pieces of the trial and things like that, like newsreel footage and stuff that's used in it occasionally. Like they'll cut away from something and then do like a little recap that, at least if it's not legit, was trying very hard to look legit. And of the time, it felt that way to me. Aspect ratio changes and things like that. So it was really good. I was impressed with it quite a bit. So,
oh, man. But does it get the 9.5 for Max?
We'll see.
He's gushing over here.
IMDb. 7.8 out of 10. So not quite Spider-Man, but still pretty high.
It's good, though.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 331 critics.
Oh, they loved it.
89%.
All right, yeah.
Audience, 25,000 or 2,500 plus, because that's enough for everybody.
They hated it.
I thought the same thing. 90%.
Whoa, audience.
Coming out of nowhere. And I am right there with them, 9.0 out of 10.
All right.
Awesome movie. Really, really well done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really watchable.
Really good stuff.
Yes.
Well, time for my second movie, and it's a comedy horror.
Ooh.
Horror. It's a little movie from 2019 called Lilith. I watched this on the 5th of January, 2022.
Whoa.
I'm in 2022 now.
Holy cow.
You know, Max, I thought you'd be way behind, like in 2020 or something, but no. You're catching up to me.
I am.
Yeah, now we're going to have to like really like talk to each other about what movies we're doing.
That's right. I'm still just summer of 2021, so not too far off.
Well, I know Christmas will slow you down a little bit, right?
Not as much as you'd think.
Oh, man.
Sam, you failed me.
She's like, what?
I managed to avoid her clutches, her Christmas clutches.
The Christmas clutches?
I avoided her Christmas clutches pretty good. I tried to get her to watch Die Hard. We only made it through half.
Really? Interesting.
It's not because she didn't like it. It's because she fell asleep.
Oh, I mean, that's fair.
I'm too tired. Movie good.
Yeah. How do you fall asleep on that Alan Rickman, though?
I mean... Yes, I cannot fall asleep on that, so please turn it off, the right answer. So Lilith, directed by Lee Esposito, starring Langston Fishburne, which is the son of Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, is that true?
In case you were wondering. Yes. Taylor Turner and Savannah Witten. And the star of this is absolutely Savannah Witten, who plays Lilith. IMDb movie summary. After catching her long-term boyfriend cheating, Jenna turns towards elements she doesn't fully understand to get revenge. Said vengeance comes in the form of a succubus named Lilith, who embarks on a bloodthirsty, sex-fueled rampage.
Of course she does.
Yes. This is based on a short with the same actress who played Lilith.
Oh, cool.
Nice. I watched this with my wife. My wife loved the camera work.
Really?
She couldn't shut up about the camera work. And I'm like, what? It was very, I mean, it was good.
Right.
But I'm just like, why are you so focused? You never care about anything, really.
Right.
Much less this movie or me. But you really see, she could not stop. She's like, the camera's so good. Who would have thought to put the camera there and this and that?
That's awesome.
It was really funny.
It makes you realize, like, sometimes when it just clicks with you, it really does. The way you, like, the filmic part of film is super important. I know we talk a lot about plot, character development, the writing than the visuals, but sometimes we'll note when the visuals are like distractingly bad or like just super well handled.
Right. And I mean, I was just, I had to start with that. I couldn't believe she was gushing over the camera work.
That's cool.
It was really,
that's
funny.
Awesome.
And the camera work is pretty darn good. So this is a micro budget movie.
Okay.
So I already know the top of my micro budget scale is a 6 for Killer Sofa, which I have the shirt on for. Hey.
Perfect. Hey, Killer Sofa.
There he is. It's just weird I thought of that. But this movie is pretty interesting. So what I like about this movie is it is not just boobage and just sex and dumb
shit.
Well,
darn. Why am I going to watch it then?
Well, because it's actually pretty good.
Oh, wow.
I was very surprised. this is not a boob fest. It's not offensive. It's not boring. And it's not terrible. Super strong for a micro-budget film.
It's awesome.
Actions and consequences are deeply explained. Good practical effects for this budget. Lilith is like, when she has her, because she's usually in her human form, she just looks like a hot girl.
Okay.
Right? Hot redhead girl. But then she's got like green body paint kind of thing going on with like these weird her, it's all about her face really.
Okay.
She's buck naked, you never see a tit.
Oh wow.
Which I was like, that's smart. I like that.
Yeah.
But like she's got horns and just like it looked good. It's clearly practical effects.
That's cool.
But it looked good. And it never really seemed cheesy to me. Which
that's awesome.
Nice. And I kind of want to see some more from these actors and this director because, like, I thought that they really put something together here.
That's awesome. I'm
pretty surprised.
Very cool.
But yeah, she ends up summoning the demon. She's like, hey, my boyfriend was cheating on me, and her one friend's kind of into witchcraft and stuff. She's like, we'll summon a demon. She goes, you know how to do that? She goes, no, but I'll do what I think will work, and we'll see make what it happens. Work. So they think it doesn't happen. It actually does, and she's kind of linked to her. So she gets visions of her going and talking to the boy,
He's
a complete piece of shit, and she ends up murdering him.
Wow.
And then she's like, why did you murder him? Don't you know who the hell I am? Like, what did you think I was going to do? So it's kind of like this funny take where the demon's like, well, I'm going to go just murder a bunch of people with sex because that's what I do because I'm a succubus. I don't know what you...
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, you can go now. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I ain't leaving. So then she starts like, it's a college campus. She starts banging and killing everybody.
Nice.
It's pretty great.
That is pretty funny.
But I was pretty surprised by this movie.
That's awesome.
For sure. This is the kind of movie I think a lot of people would just balk at when they see the title and pass on. But I'm glad I watched it.
Awesome.
So, scores.
Yes.
IMDb, 3.8.
Okay.
They don't like it.
No, they don't like it.
Rotten Tomato Critic and Audience, it doesn't exist. There's no,
they don't like it.
No score.
They don't bother.
Page exists, but no score.
Oof.
I gave it a 6.
Wow.
Out of 10.
That's Killer Sofa.
That is tied with Killer Sofa.
Oh, boy.
It is a completely different type of way to get there. But
yeah.
They absolutely got there. My wife watched this with me. And my wife said, I don't understand, but I'm going to give it a 6 as well.
Wow.
We both gave it a 6. She's like, I feel like it needs to be a 6. Is that wrong? I go, no, I gave it a 6 already.
Nice.
She's like, really? So very strange, but yeah. And then Lawrence Fishburne's son is in there.
Awesome. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, I was just really happy to find another micro-budget movie I liked.
How many USB drives are in this movie?
It's a college campus. So much porn, so... A lot.
Wonderful.
But and ironically, a lot of them have DMX music on it. So.
Oh, good. Very good. The Lone Wolf.
That's right.
So I watched a movie.
Bullshit.
Oh, I swear. It was from 2016, and it's called Captain Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are some buzzwords I like.
Yep. I watched it July 8th, 2021. It is 1 hour and 58 minutes exactly. It is a drama. Directed by Matt Ross, starring Viggo Mortensen, George McKay, and Samantha Eisler.
I really thought it was going to be George Takei.
George Takei.
I got really excited.
The movie summary. In the forests of the Pacific Northwest, a father devoted to raising his family with rigorous physical and intellectual education, isolated in the wilderness, is forced to leave and take his family back into the world, challenging his idea of what it means to be a parent.
Interesting.
Yeah, so basically they're like completely isolationist. They live out in the forests.
Off the grid.
Completely off the grid. No technology. No USB drives around here.
Sounds great.
They have that good old-fashioned book learning. They know how to light fires. They know how to survive in the woods.
We couldn't do that because we do a movie podcast. We have to do a book club.
We would. We could do like a campfire story kind of thing where it's like, you know what? That campfire story is really good.
I give it a 9 out of 10.
That's right. I like it. But his wife passes away from what you understand to be like what ends up being like a mental illness that leads to her committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And so they have to do the whole funeral thing. And her parents are actually like really well to do. And they're holding like proper funeral services for her. And so the family has to go. And it's now like Viggo Mortensen and like 5 children.
Okay.
That all have to go, and they have like an RV kind of bus type thing that's like an old kind of like POS that they take into the real world.
It's actually the RV from RV.
And they have no money. So like he teaches the kids how to do like weird hustle gambits so they can steal from supermarkets for food. And it's wild stuff. And like it's pretty neat because the kids are very well learned and like they actually are like extremely smart and capable versus like you see him like going to like family as they make their way to this funeral. And like those kids are like farting around playing on their cell phones. They don't know like basic concepts because they're kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but these kids are like quoting different amendments from the Constitution and they like are very like very learned. And nice. It's like surprising to see. And he's just like, I'm not wrong. Like, these kids need to learn to survive and be people, but they're also like super awkward socially. Like, they really don't know how to fit in. And they're just like stand there like very tense. And you know what I mean? The one girl sees like some people who are overweight and calls them hippopotamus fat because, you know what I mean? They're all like in like crazy shape because they're living out on out in the, you know, wilderness, just survive on what they can actually find and gather to survive.
I hate it when people call me hippopotamus fat.
That little girl calls a bunch of people hippopotamus fat.
Little girl's got it coming.
Yep. So it's like a really interesting way to challenge your notion on what is like the right way to parent, and like what should you focus on as a parent to be successful, and like should your concept of parenting and like your actual ideals change to do what's best for your children. And like it's a pretty challenging film. Like it's not like doing anything that's like going to draw you into the movie other than ask you these big questions, and if you're willing to think about it and answer those questions, it's pretty engaging.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it was really an interesting film.
I love Viggo Mortensen.
He's awesome. His dong is in this movie. If that's going to sell you on it.
He brought his dong?
He brought his dong with him. Like every
Does
movie he's done since
beard?
Lord of the Rings.
Does his dong have a beard?
I don't remember, but I'm assuming there was some hair going on down there. He's a hairy man.
Sam, did his dong have a beard?
I don't know.
She's contractually obligated to say she doesn't know.
I really don't.
But yeah. Okay. It's only in it for a second. It's not like Eastern Promises where it's in there for a solid 12 minutes.
We're going to have to...
12 minutes exactly.
We're going to have to rate the dong appearances of Viggo Mortensen on one episode.
Viggo Mortensen's various swords.
Oh.
Then you can include Lord of the Rings.
There you go.
There you go. Nice. So IMDb gave this a 7.9 out of 10. That's 0.1 good. Higher than The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 229 critics gave it 83%.
Nice.
Audience, 10,000 plus. Again, you think that it's just going to bomb, but 85%.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Interesting.
Yeah, really, really. It's an engaging movie, and if you want one that's going to have you wrestle with some pretty strong topics, this is a good movie to watch.
I love wrestling.
You do. Wrestling.
The Wrassles.
That's right.
Thanks, Max.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's have some more ether now.
Ether. Come on.